Okay, we're continuing Bez Hashem in the Sefer the Bavli Mishkan Evna. So last time we talked about the idea, building on the time before, of what the taklis of life is. And we said last time the taklis of a person's life is to become davuk v'Hashem Yisvarach, to become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become karoyf v'Hashem Yisvarach. And we ended off last time talking about the idea that the Zohar HaKadosh says that the 613 mitzvahs are called 613 etzes, 613 pieces of advice, avenues. And we said that means that these are ways for a person to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, meaning that we explained that there's two halves to a mitzvah. The two halves of the mitzvah are the actual action of the mitzvah and the ma'isa of the mitzvah that a person has to do. And that was sort of to call the chitzainius, the external of the mitzvah. And then there's the pnimius of the mitzvah, then there's the inside, the neshama of the mitzvah. And the neshama of the mitzvah, the pnimius of the mitzvah, is that through the mitzvah a person is connecting and should be connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that we ended off saying sort of was starting to pull together something that we had asked in the first shiur, and that was how we connect all the different mitzvahs that we do. What's the theme that connects all of them? What shaykhus does one mitzvah have to the other? Of course they're all from Hashem, but seemingly you could have the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of sukkah and they don't have anything to do with each other besides the gezeirah shava, tezvav, tezvav, which doesn't really help us too much in lamaisa. So what do they have to do with each other? And the answer is, in the chitzainius of the mitzvah, the external of the mitzvah, there's a lot of differences. But if the point of all the mitzvahs, like the Zohar is telling us, is an avenue to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the panemius, that's the neshama, so to speak, of every mitzvah. So that is really the connection between all of them, and how, as we'll move along, we'll see how they connect, and we should be able, hopefully, to connect everything together. Now, just for an example, he says that, let's just think a minute about one mitzvah that we do every single day. And that is, a person gets up in the morning and he goes to shul and he puts on his talis. Now, when a person is misateh b'talis, the person wears the talis that has on it tzitzis, he's mekayim a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. So he says, first he says, so what is a person supposed to be thinking, or what is a person thinking when he puts on his talis? So really the question is a person thinking at all when he puts on his talis? That's really question number one. Or are we just putting on the talis because this is just what you do? So the first thing is, the first step is, a person has to stop for a moment and think about what's happening, what is he doing? Now, so what are you supposed to think about? So, well, first of all, we hold, at least the Katkhila, especially by mitzvah d'oraisa, the concept of mitzvah srichas kavana. That means that when a person does a mitzvah, he's supposed to have in mind that he is being mekayim a mitzvah. So when you put on your talis, you have to have in mind, the person should have in mind, that he's mekayim a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa of putting on his talis, and be mekayim the mitzvah. But, as we said before, every mitzvah is just another avenue of bringing, connecting us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've been putting on our talis day in, day out, week in, week out, for years at a time. Do we feel any closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from this mitzvah of putting on our talis every morning? Do we feel, okay, you'll say maybe one day to another day is maybe a subtle difference, growth, but come on, we've all been putting it on for years, different amounts of years for all the people who are here, but it's been a number of years. From day number one, you put on your talis till this morning, have you felt, because of this mitzvah of talis, any closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, we're ma'amin b'amunah shleima that the Zohar is emes, and if the Zohar tells us that these, every mitzvah is a avenue of connecting and becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'chaira, we should have a very big question on ourselves. So you'll say it's little by little, but over a period of time there should be some difference that a person sees during because at least of the mitzvah of putting on his talis. And we don't see this. We don't feel it and we don't see it. And that is something that just should bring us to stop and think for a moment, what's going on? What's going on with our mitzvah of talis? And this is only one mitzvah. This is only one mitzvah that we do day in, day out, besides for mitzvahs that are done and at different times of the year, but these are mitzvahs that we do. We do many mitzvahs every day. We learn Torah, many, many mitzvahs. And yet, not in one mitzvah, I would think, and if, you know, if someone has it, but overall, in general, doesn't seem that we have this idea that we become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all of these mitzvahs that we have been mekayim. And the teretz is, as we're saying, it's because we're not really using the mitzvah and understanding the power of the mitzvah the way we're supposed to. We have the chitzonius of the mitzvah, we're being mekayim of the mitzvah, the actions of the mitzvah. If we're lucky, we have mitzvah tzrichas kavana, that we even have kavana to be mekayim of the mitzvah. And maybe in some mitzvahs we even think about why we do the mitzvah. Talis, we're mesatif in it, tefillin, all different things. There's reasons why we do the different mitzvahs. Perhaps that this, we are thinking about that, but the question is, that's the chitzainius of the mitzvah, and it's the chitzainius, it's the external of ourselves. But are we penetrating to the inside of the mitzvah, and is the mitzvah penetrating inside to us to make this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And therefore, what's going to if we come to that hakara that we have all of these tools in front of us, 613 tools that Desire says, and however many were Mekayim on a daily basis, are we using them properly, the way they're supposed to be used, to bring us to our tachlis in this world of becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And if we're not feeling it, and we don't see a difference in ourselves over whatever period of time a person decides to figure out, if we don't have that pneumias, then we have to start thinking, what's going on, what's wrong? What are we not doing, should say wrong, but what are we not doing correctly to use the mitzvah properly, the mitzvahs that we have to do and that we do, if we're not using them to their fullest? Now, before we even go further, and it's going to take us time, as I said, till we get to the derech, we first have to now explain and try to figure out, what does it really mean, Korva Takadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean, connected and close Takadosh Baruch Hu? What is Dveikus? The David HaMelech said, Vani Kirvas Elikim Litoiv. To be close Takadosh Baruch Hu, that's the good thing, that's the greatest thing, and we've said that's really what the Tachlis of every person's life is, to become close Takadosh Baruch Hu. And we're saying that's the purpose of mitzvahs. But what does it mean? How do we explain this idea of coming close Takadosh Baruch Hu? So the truth is, we have to use, these are all spiritual things. We're talking about in a world of ruchnius, and we live in a world of gashmius, so we're going to have to use physical examples that we could relate to try to give here a gather of what it means to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in this world, in Olam Hazeh, there are two musagim, there are two types of what we will call being karoiv, close. There is close in proximity, this physical closeness, and then there is a closeness will be called a kirva, either nafshis, or you could even say it's more of a mishpachtis, like a relation, a relationship. We'll explain as follows. Very simple mashal. Person sitting at home and he's talking on the phone. He's talking on the phone and his friend walks into the house. So the person talking on the phone tells him, you know, he motions him to wait a couple of minutes. He has to finish up on the call. So he finishes up and he apologizes and he says that I was on the phone with, now in when you say it in Hebrew, the whole Shtickle Torah here works a little better. Because in Hebrew, a relative is called a karoiv, someone who is close to you. So he says, I was talking to my karoiv on the phone. I was talking to the person who's close with me on the phone. And you could say it in English as well. It doesn't have to be dafka relative, someone you're very close with. You say, I was someone I was close with. And so the person looks and says, one second, he's close with you, I'm close, I'm sitting right next to you. Who's closer, right? I'm here and he's there, he's across the world, and you say, I have to wait because he's close to you? So the answer is, everyone understands that there's proximity. The guy who's sitting in the room is physically close to you. The person who's on the other end of the line may not be physically close to you, but there's some type of connection that makes him, whether he's a relative, whether you feel an internal, some type of relationship with him, that it's called a kurva. There's some type of connection and closeness that you have, but it's not a physical proximity that I'm in his Dalet Amos. It's a different type of being close. It's a closeness that, what?
Familiarity.
It's some type of
church.
Whether, what?
Comes from the church or family.
That was the word I was going to use. Either his words there are yachashal mikar, source, or shal shirish, your roots, because we come from the same roots, because we're related, so then there's a connection between the two of us that makes us close. You can have branches on a tree that are going all off, but they're very close because they're coming from the same root. So in that part of the analogy, there's different ways of figuring out of a close friend. It might not be from the same Shirish, but there might be something else that you share with them that makes you very close compared to the good friend that is right next to you, but the other person might, you feel closer to them. There's this kurva. So we have in the physical world two types of kurvas, two types of closeness. There's the proximity, and then there's what he's called here kirva benefesh. There's this closeness that is internal in the nefesh at kadeis kashrus nafesh. It's not just a closeness, we're connected with each other. We're almost tied together. So, in this world we have two things. We have these two types of korva. Now, neither of them are mechayev the other one. Meaning, just because you're in close proximity to someone doesn't necessarily make you a good friend of theirs. And just because someone is a good friend of yours doesn't mean, or a relative of yours, doesn't mean you're going to be in close proximity. They're not necessarily tully zebizet. Not only that, there are times that you could have a close friend or a relative that you're very close with, but the kesher that you have with them, or that closeness, is not begolui, it's not revealed, it's not seen. Just because you're very close with your brother, when someone looks at you, they don't see you and your brother having this close relationship. If you'll do something together, but perhaps they will. When someone is in close proximity, then you see it very clearly. We're right next to each other, everyone sees it. We're standing right next to each other. When it comes to the internal kurva, like the relative, that might be much stronger of a kurva. The connection might be stronger. However, it's not as clear at all moments, this kurva, because it depends on the situation. Sometimes people see it, or you see it, or it's developed, or it's revealed, and sometimes it just is. Even though you always feel this kurva, but it's not always begolit. So now, let's think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to kurva b'makam, when it comes to close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that, l'sasar panimine, there's no place in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here. So really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in close proximity, the kurva b'makam, every person has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only that, we also have this other korva with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Banim atem l'Hashem aleikeichem. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. Or Reyachav, Reyavicha, Altazoiv, it says in a pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu is called Reyachav. Rashi in Masechta Shabbos says, V'haftel the Reyacha Kamoicha, Zeklal Gadol B'Torah, Rav Kiva says. So Rashi in his first chat says, Reyachav means Hashem. You love a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's why it's a Klal Gadol B'Torah. Because if you love a Kadosh Baruch Hu like yourself, meaning to say, like the Gemara says, don't do things that you wouldn't want done to you, don't do to your friend meaning Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as not only being with close proximity because we're all over, but this relationship that we have, just like you have a korva relationship with your relative or your very good friend, we have that nafshis also, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem refers to us as relatives, children, or very close friends. So we have both korvas that we could describe in the physical world that exists. We could say HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, so it sounds very easy now. It sounds very easy. If the whole part in the whole tachlis of a person's life is to be karev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we just said that it's almost impossible for us not to be karev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In physical proximity, Hashem's everywhere. In relative, we're all related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Banu matam Hashem lekeichem reyacha. So we have this kurva. So finish. Life is we've accomplished everything just by being here. But the answer is that. The answer is that it's true. We know it. In our minds, we know this is true. We all believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. We all believe we're banim to Hashem. Hashem is Avinu Shevashamayim. He's Avinu, He's Malkeinu. We say it how many times during davening, the Yom Nairaim, everything. We touch Ibeinu Avinu, we say it every day. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say it, and we know it, but we don't feel it. Question is if we feel it. We don't feel it. Do we really feel we're all here in close proximity in this room? We don't have to think much about it. We know it's true. It's emes. It's real. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is filling up this entire room? Well, we know it. We'll believe it. We could talk about it all day. Does anybody feel it? Do we really feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here? And the same thing is with the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could say 10 times a day, Ashiveinu Avinu L'Tzarisecha. But when we talk to our father, we talk to our son, or we talk to our relatives, there's this warmth, there's this feeling, you feel the relationship. So we know it's true, and we talk about it all day, but the question is, inside, are we feeling this? Are we feeling this korva, both the proximity korva, and the korva mishpachtis, this family korva that we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom, this reyacha, this friendship, this best friend, your best friend walks into the room, across the room, your mechutzin walks into the room, you smile at him, you say, because all of a sudden you feel the emotions. So do we feel that when we say Ashiveinu Avinu L'Tzarisecha? Do we feel that? So we don't have that. So we may know it's true. We may know all of this is true. That we believe and we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. And we know we're banim atem l'Hashem l'keicha. But being real as a part of our lives, feeling it emotionally, feeling it internally, that's something that we don't always have. That's something we don't always have. So now, the truth is, you'll say, okay, is there a concept in the Gashmius world of being close to something and not being able to relate to it? So that's very simple, right? If we all open our eyes, there's tons of bacteria flying around this room, and every time you move your hand, right, things are hit, right? Now, if you would have told this to someone a few hundred years ago, I don't know whenever they discovered this thing, that with no microscopes and no things, say there's bacteria flying all around the room, right? Okay, you're crazy, right? There's nothing here. You look around, there's nothing here. Even now, we tell it to ourselves, we know it's true. We know it's true. There's things flying around there, right? Someone coughs, someone sneezes, things are flying all over the place, right? And yet, you don't see it, right? And yet, okay, if a person sneezes, it became real. So all of a sudden, the germs are flying around, but where are those germs going? Where are they going? They're there, they're here. There's germs everywhere. Every time we breathe, there's germs. It's all over the place. And scientists told us, and maybe we once saw it even in some type of enlarged microscopic microscope picture or something like that, but at the end of the day, Do we walk around when you walk into a room and say, ooh, what's that? Now you get hit all of a sudden. Now why not? When I walk into the room, I see everybody else here. So we're in close proximity to it, and yet at the same time, we don't really necessarily, and the persons who, the people who live like that, so that's against the phobia. If you're going to walk into every room, and all of a sudden you're going to be jumping back from all the germs and everything, so unfortunately that person's going to need a lot of help. It's a lot of big people. He can't exist that way. So the concept that something could be in your close proximity, and you know it's there, and yet you don't live your life with the worries or the excitement, whichever way you want to say it, is a regular physical, it's a true thing. So it's not so schwer anymore that we believe and we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Probably haven't seen it under a microscope, but we know it's true. We believe we're all ma'aminim that it's true, and yet we don't live our lives with that feeling. We don't live our lives. We walk into the Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses. Kedusha of a Beis HaKnesses. We all know there's Kedusha in a Beis HaKnesses or in a Beis HaMedrash. And we're supposed to act differently. And even if we do act differently in the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash, why do we do it? Because the Halacha tells me that it's more Kaddish. But is the pshat that the person who walks in the front door of the Beis HaKnesses feels this like awe of walking in? You see, he feels this awe. He feels the Kedusha? Most people, Mustama, don't. So we act differently because we know it's true, and that's what. But it's not a real feeling. It's not a real feeling. I just saw a Maridika Maisa with. I was reading this book on Rav Moshe Twersky, Hashav Yikam Dama. He was killed in the Har Nof massacre. So he was a big Oyved Hashem, and he was a very big Baal Regesh, so a very emotional person. So his daughter described how he went to his great grandfather's kever, to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's kever in Warsaw. Chaim Soloveitchik is buried there, and he went there his kid schlepped him there on a trip. So ended up he went going a few times at the end of his life, but the first time he went, so his daughter said she went with him, and his wife wasn't there, and she had a video camera, and she videoed him as he was going for the first time. I mean, he grew up, his grandfather is Reb Yosher Beretz Soloveitchik from Boston. He grew up as a family of brisk and Reb Chaim, and he worked, toiled Reb Chaim's tire and all brisk tire for years and years and years. And so he's coming out to Reb Chaim's kever. He used to learn on the plane. Anytime he went, he would sit with a seder on the plane just to learn Chidushei Rabbeinu Chaim al Rambam. That was like the avoda if you're going to the Zayda's kever. So his daughter described how he went. He approached the kever. He stopped for a moment before he got. It's in a building, in an aisle. Him and the Netziv are together in the same aisle. And he stopped. And he was like deep in thought for a while, and then he slowly went a little further, and he was deep in thought some more, until he finally got in. And his daughter, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, she went to her mother and she said, she tried to describe it. She said she could not describe the feelings as I was holding the camera. My hands were shaking just watching him as he was going in. And she was so full of emotion, this daughter, this married daughter, as she was telling over to her mother, she burst out crying. And so Rebbetzin Twersky said, it probably looked like the Kohen Gadol getting ready to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That was the way they described it. So this was like a feeling that he was having. He was going in, whatever Kedusha it is, I don't know, Litva Shazach, that's a Kvarim of Tzadikim, and things like again to the whole picture. But it's Ki Admas Kodeshu. You know, you're going into a holy place, you feel the Kedusha. It's not just because the Halacha tells you that in a Beis HaKnesses the person can't be B'schaik, you know, to make jokes, and I'll do that. You can't. In the Beit HaMikdash, nobody's making jokes, not because it says Shulchan Aruch you don't make it. You can't. It's an impossibility because you're feeling it. And that's really the way a person's supposed to be living his life, of understanding that the Shechina is everywhere. But at the same time, we may know it's true, but at the same time we don't live with it. And just the last knach here is the same thing when it comes to family ties. How many times after the war did you have relatives living in the same building for 30 years and they didn't know it? Each one thought that the other one was killed. So you could have them, they're related, and neither of them realize, and they could be next to each other, they could not realize it. Besides, on the other end of the world, for sure. Many times that happens. But sometimes we're even close proximity. So the same thing is with us. We may, over there, they don't know there was a relative in the other side of the world. We may know it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our relative. He's Avinu, he's Reyacha. But at the same time, we don't feel it. We don't live that way. We don't understand it. We don't have that hargosha. So Mimela, just like in this world you could have kirva samokam, proximity, and kirva of a mishpacha, and you could have this closeness, and yet at the same time, with all of this closeness, it's a rachat mimenu. It's really very distant from you. It's really distant from your heart and your feeling, because you don't really understand it. You don't really chap it. You don't really know what's going on. You know in your mind, but you don't know in your heart. And therefore, it's very hard to live your life that way. And that's the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this relationship with us. But at the same time, it's not real. It's not real. And if it's not real, so we may know it, but we don't live our lives this way. So the next step here is going to be to try to take this yediyas that we all know, this kurva that we know exists, both tzadiv in proximity and internally, and now try to figure out, or that's going to be part of the avodah here, to try to figure out how a person is able to make it real and be able to actually live these kurvas with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.